Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Sure thing. My name is Ray Hennessy, and I got started in photography right out of high school. It was like my first job. I was really interested in Photoshop and digital retouching and that sort of thing. And I got my first job at a wedding and portrait studio doing that. Slowly learned how to shoot weddings on film with Hasselblad cameras. Then transitioned out of there, worked for an architect photographer for about 8 years. And while I was there, started my own wedding photography business that I ran for 10 years. While I was doing that, got really into wildlife photography, and then transitioned out of that business into full-time wildlife photography, which is what I do currently.
So one of the questions that the kids asked, they want to know, what are some challenges that you face while living and working on the road for so long?
Yeah, that's a great question. I got to say, in the beginning, it was tough, but now it feels pretty straightforward. The van that I used to have before I met my fiance, you know, I had a van on my own, and that one didn't have a lot of battery power. So it was kind of hard to juggle keeping batteries charged, use the laptop all day, stuff like that. That was probably the biggest challenge with that one. I lived without refrigeration for 2 years. I ate food that only could be stored, you know, without refrigeration and that sort of thing. So that was definitely the biggest challenge. When we upgraded to the van we're currently in now, it has a great power system. And so we can be off the grid basically indefinitely. As long as we have gas in the, you know, in the tank, we have electricity. And so we have refrigeration now, yay. And unlimited power, basically. I leave my computer plugged in all day and never have to worry about it. So that makes things a lot easier now.
That's cool. One of the kids had emailed me, and I was wondering about this as well. Like, how do you choose your locations when it comes to photography?
Photography? It depends. A lot of where I work is all places I've been before. So I've had experience there, really put in the time to scout, and then I bring people back in to host photography workshops there. But as far as everything else, my fiance, Emily, and I love to explore. And so we actually just do a lot of just kind of using Google and just research online to find out where are some really beautiful places in the state we're currently hanging out in or in the area we're in. And then we just go and do some hikes. And so once we're doing that, if we find some wildlife along the way, then we'll stop and slow down, really take some time with that. If we really like the area for photography, because most of the year our schedule's kind of free, we'll just stay there longer. And that's the beauty of it. So, you know, if we're in an area and the photography is not great or we're not enjoying it, we just move on. Or even honestly, if the weather's not good, we're like, it's too hot, too cold, let's get out of here. And if things are good, weather's good, wildlife's good, we're enjoying the place, then we'll just stay more time.
That's really cool. It's like Jack Kerouac, life on the road.
It's incredible.
That's really cool. So what would you say though is like one of your more memorable locations to shoot, because you get pretty remote, don't you?
Yeah, I definitely do. It's really hard to pick out some, but there's a handful that really stand out. I spend a lot of the summer in Newfoundland up off the coast of Canada. It's an island up there along those coasts there working with seabirds. You're looking at 300-foot cliffs right down into the ocean, thousands of birds lining the cliffs, and that's the kind of scenery. So that place is amazing every year. And in about 3 days, I'm getting ready to head to Hawaii and work with some albatross that nest there. And again, working along like these cliff walls and birds that nest on these in with the like the Hawaiian landscape and ocean in the background. That one's hard to beat. And then I also do some stuff in like really remote areas of Alaska. I'll be spending some time there for about a month this year as well. They're all amazing. They really are in their own way. So it's hard to pick a total favorite, but I love the coastlines and these seabirds with these cliff walls and dramatic skies and stuff like that. It really speaks to me in the photography I love to do.
Man, so cool. And like, how do you stay patient? Because I'm guessing you can't, like, it's not like the animals just come to you immediately. So how do you like stay patient and still?
There's some photography that requires that. I don't do a lot of that kind of bird and wildlife photography anymore. I'm much more opportunistic. a lot of these things that I'm talking about right now, these seabird colonies and these places, like, oh, there's thousands of birds there. It's nesting season. So when you go, you can kind of just walk up, you can wave and scream, and they don't care about you at all. So that's the beauty of that. But there are, certain birds and stuff like that where I have to get completely in a hide, under camo, lay there in the dark, wait for the sun to come up and that sort of thing. The patience there, it's helpful to have a phone to just kind of like scroll Instagram and look at some photos and comment and stuff. But for the most part, lately, for the last year or two, I'm much more opportunistic because we travel so much. I don't get to spend a lot of time in the same areas. And so it means like we just kind of, honestly, Emily and I put ourselves in beautiful places. And then if wildlife shows up, we're already in a good spot for pretty photography and we can just try and take advantage of it at that point.
And let's do a plug here. Where can they learn more about your photography work as far as socials and websites?
Yeah, sure thing, man. RayHennessy.com is just the place for it all. So I have a YouTube channel. I post new photos every single day on my website and Instagram. You can find it all through my website and any videos I do, my podcast that I do. I just recorded an episode with a good friend of mine just before this one. And so all the content just all goes there at RayHennessy.com. And I got to say, it's a great place for people to learn because every day I share the settings that I captured the photo with, and I usually share a little bit of behind the scenes of what went into capturing that photo every single day. I also have some videos where I actually take people out in the field with me. You can see through my camera while I'm shooting, plus like a wide view, so you can see the habitat, and I narrate the whole thing. And that's all free on that website.
Amazing resource, guys. Check that out. And we have a question from Gregor in Martinique, the island of Martinique. Go ahead and unmute to ask, Brent.
Okay, so good morning, Ralph. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning.
I would like to ask, what do you prefer on a photo shoot?
What do I prefer
when you take photos? About like,
do you mean preference? That what would he like to shoot? What does he like to shoot the most?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. I love seabirds, like I was just talking about, these dramatic cliffs, and we have thousands of them. And the really interesting thing about seabirds to me is, number one, I think they're very stunning. My personal photo style, I generally gravitate towards a little bit more of a minimalist look, so real clean lines. These birds all kind of have that look to them, real sleek colors and markings on them. And then they live in these like insane coasts, just like rock cliffs up out of the ocean, huge crashing waves, dramatic skies and stormy skies and stuff like that quite often. And so all of that really combines to allow for some really dramatic photos. And the best part about a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them have almost little to no fear of humans because they spend the vast majority of their life out in the ocean. They don't encounter humans. And so when they come to the coastline to nest, they kind of don't have fear. So you can generally get pretty close to them. And so I've had times where I'm sitting, 2 or 3 feet away from a puffin, just sitting there looking at me, and it's completely calm. And some of these other seabirds, and they're just waddling around and looking at you like, yeah, whatever, just do what you want, And then I get to photograph them in a much more intimate and unique way.
That's so cool. Did you ever have like a moment when you were coming up where you were like, realize like, wow, I can make a profession out of this?
So I've been lucky enough to make a living in photography since I graduated high school at 18. That's when I got my first job. And I didn't know it was going to turn into what it did, really. I was lucky enough to have those jobs and work for other studios while I grew my own businesses and kind of get them off the ground. And for what I currently do right now, it was basically like, I was a wedding photographer full time and doing that as my own business. And then slowly I just kept adding in some wildlife. I do a little bit of work here, a little bit of teaching online here, and it just kept growing after a couple of years. And at one point I kind of realized like, hey, I look back at the numbers and I made a decent amount the year prior. And if I put all my resources into and time and effort into wildlife, I think I can make it work. And so I shot my last wedding in November of 2019 and then have been making it work with this ever since. And luckily and gratefully, I've been making more doing this than I ever did as a wedding photographer. And it's way more fun to me.
It sounds like a lot more fun. Do you ever have experiences where it's kind of like dangerous? Because I mean, you're describing cliffs and going in remote places. Is it? You ever have that?
There's been a few times. I don't work with a lot of dangerous animals. I've photographed grizzly bears and stuff like that. I've actually been in the water in waders with them feeding in there. But that was like, they were pretty distant. And I don't do a lot of that kind of wildlife. But those those locations, you're right. There's totally times where
Location, yeah.
I've kind of walked back from taking the shot and looked at where I was and went, I probably should not have been out there because one wrong step and like that's the end. So, and no photo's worth that, you know?
Okay, and who are some photographers that you kind of are inspired by that you take work from?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, there's a ton of stuff online and I really get inspired by a lot of these up and coming photographers that aren't really well-known names that are just, I think because of that, they don't have to prove anything to anybody and they're really trying new stuff. And so there's another section on my website I'll plug right now that every so often I will share a photo from other photographers that I really love and I share a little bit about why I like those photos. But there's one bird photographer that stands out to me. He's from one of the Nordic countries. I think it's Norway, but I'm not positive. And his name is Terje Kulas. It's Terje. And he's just one of my favorites. He's always just doing stuff that I would never think of and really surprising me and shooting very different than a lot of other, you know, standard wildlife photographers are. And he's always been a really big inspiration for me.
Would you say that there's any misconceptions that people might have when it comes to wildlife photography?
I'm not sure. I think the biggest one is that everybody thinks they need to have one of those ginormous lenses that cost a fortune. And like, listen, man, that's to me. I lusted after one of those lenses when I first got started. And now I try like crazy to promote and let beginners know that while, yes, those lenses are great and I do own one, you know, you can do some amazing stuff with seriously beginner level gear now. Like, that's the real cool thing about technology now is. I'd say even 10, especially 15 years ago, to be really good at bird and wildlife photography, but specifically bird photography, you did need a decent lens and you needed a much more expensive camera to be able to keep up with the speed of these birds and focus on them and all that sort of thing. And now, honestly, entry-level mirrorless cameras with a decent zoom lens that even it's just like the entry level that comes with it, you can capture stuff that's way better than we could even 6, 7 years ago with the highest end gear. And so it's really neat to see that progression, and it puts it in, I think, within reach of a lot more photographers, which I think is great.
And when you're on the road, because I mean, you probably don't have an office like in the traditional sense that we remember, but like, how do you, what's the process for you to like edit those photos? Do you use Adobe Photoshop? What are you doing program-wise?
Yeah, I use Lightroom for all of my organization, Adobe Lightroom, and basic. Like actually most of the photo editing. And then I use Photoshop just to do final touches. And I've been lucky enough that I've used those programs. I use Lightroom since the day it was released, you know, and I've used Photoshop since version 4, not like, you know, a lot of people know CS4 and stuff like that. No, since 1999, that's when I started with Photoshop, when it had like 3 undos and then that was the max. You couldn't undo any more steps than that. So I got really good at those programs and have been really efficient. And I've been lucky enough to have a lot of experience to be able to teach a lot of people with digital workflows and editing styles and stuff like that. But on the road, this is one of the few times I'm actually in a house, by the way. I'm in my fiance's mom's house. We just got back this morning from being on the road, and in two, like I said, 3 days, we're off to Hawaii. But usually I have the laptop that I'm working on right here. And then because I have that really good battery system in that van, I have a 27-inch external monitor that I plug into and use that all the time. So that's my main editing setup. I have a kind of a two monitor setup, and I use a Wacom digital tablet to do my retouching. And then more recently, within the last, I guess, about a year and a half ago, I added an Apple Vision Pro to it. And that allows me to mirror my laptop desktop into it. And I can project these photos that appear to be like 40 feet huge in front of me. So I can view and edit with Lightroom in that with these massive screens while I'm sitting outside and looking at like the forest in front of me or something like that. It's pretty fascinating and really fun to do.
That is wild. I would love to see photos of that process. We have a couple more student questions, then we'll let you go. Gregor, he has another question for Martinique. Go ahead and unmute to ask, friend.
So what advice would you give to someone that want to start the photography?
That's a great question. The best advice, I think, is to go after what your passion is. It's really easy to me with social media to follow the latest trends and what everybody else is doing. But in my mind, when you do that as a photographer, as an artist, you're just kind of becoming one more of the average, you know? You're just doing the same thing everybody else is doing. And while that may work to maybe grow your audience quickly because it's the trending thing to do right now, I feel like you're not growing a unique audience and necessarily an engaged audience. And when you stick to what you love to do, what your passion is, even if, and almost especially if, that doesn't necessarily follow what everybody else is doing in that genre of photography, given enough time and patience, I think you start to stand out. And that to me is a wonderful thing. That's one of the things that I've become known for is what's called a small in frame style of wildlife photography and bird photography, where I photograph the bird smaller in the frame and have a lot of habitat around it using shorter focal lengths and wider angle lenses. And those types of images don't translate really well on Instagram, but I share them anyway. And over time, I've gotten to become known for that style. And now I have an audience that seeks me out just for that. Instead of me kind of catering to social media and what everybody else wants to see, I stuck to my passion and what really spoke to me. And now I have an audience built upon that. And I think that's really a way to kind of approach any artistic field.
That's great advice. Great advice. So, for our final question, I always ask this of all of our guests, and this kind of plays on what you just answered, but it's a more of a pivot. Whether kids want to go into photography or something completely different, what kind of advice would you have for them? As I mean, you found your niche, you found your path, and you blazed a trail. So, what kind of advice would you have for them?
Be patient, stick with it, just have the passion. My first 2 or 3 years of doing both my wedding photography business, but specifically my wildlife photography business, it kind of just required full commitment for me. You know, it was almost like every waking moment was devoted into that. And I kind of had to put my other life on the back burner for a little bit, just to really just like 1,000% dive into this and work hard at it, knowing and hoping, I guess. And knowing from past experience that if I did that and worked really hard and put all of my time and effort into it, that it would grow into something that I could survive off of, and then I could start figuring out the balance in my life, and that's where I'm at now. You know, I'm lucky right now to have basically I run 5 major workshops throughout the year, and then the rest of the year I just drive around the country, the US and Canada, and travel and go wherever I want and just do some teaching online. So I've been able to give myself a lot of free time and balance in that. But those first couple of years, I had to just commit so much to it and really just believe in myself and not just kind of, you know, partially put in the effort and think like, oh, it's going to happen in a month or two. Like it was years, you know. But I all along I kind of knew where it was going and watched it grow and I was just patient with it.
I love that advice, man. Well, Ray, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk to us today. And we'll share out your website and all your socials. And we appreciate you. And we can't wait to follow you and all of your adventures with you and your fiance. Congratulations as well. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
See you
Yeah,
guys.
thank you.
Bye.
Bye.